Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, can you turn to somebody and welcome the person again to the study of the word of God today? Welcome the person very warmly. Tell the fellow you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Prophesy to the person. You will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You will please him in all respects. Prophesy to the person. You will bear fruit in every good work, and you will increase in the knowledge of God. Prophesy to somebody. All right, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's take our seats quickly. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, last time I began to say something about purification. You remember that? Yes, and of course, we ended up mostly talking. And I'll try and get straight to the prayer today so that we can rise and declare God's word together. But something happened on Sunday when I was teaching in Makurdi. I preached something which was quite interesting to me. And I think it's just in line. Well, I just feel like sharing it with us briefly, you know, as a preacher. At least that's how it's been with me and many ministers like that. Is as you are teaching, things just start coming up in your spirit. And it's such a blessing, okay, to even you and not just those who are listening. Sometimes the first time you are thinking about those things. That's with that background, that's where the thing came to me, and I taught it there. Nothing new. It's just the way I presented the facts. I just felt like it would fit what we are teaching today, and then we take it off from there and go into our confession of the word of God as part of our prayer for today. Now, let me emphasize again, in our school of prayer, what we are doing is learning how to pray. We are trying to create a habit. This is not a prayer meeting. It is prayer school. There's a difference. A prayer meeting is just to meet to pray. A prayer school is a place you come to learn to pray. So my desire is that the things that we do on Tuesdays, you create them into a habit. When we declare God's word like this, please go home and book the tape. Or, you know, you can even get it free. You can download it. You can have somebody, all right, copy it for you, whatever. Okay? But make sure you book the CD so as to get that confession into your own personal life. Take it like breakfast. You know, your daddy will talk about the fact that Christians don't eat well enough. A lot of people are malnourished, thoroughly malnourished. What I mean by malnourished? They don't have a balanced diet. They don't have carbohydrate. They don't have proteins. They may have protein. They don't have enough vitamins. All right? It's a problem with Christianity. And that's because people don't understand what nourishment is. Nourishment as a believer is not just to read the Bible. All right? It's good to read your scriptures, but it's to take the word and put it upon your lips. That's why he said that in his law, he meditates day and night. He doesn't think about it, but he puts it upon his lips. The word meditate in the Hebrew means to mutter. That's why he said that, if you see, when God was talking about how to make the word penetrate, he said you will talk about it. You know, it's something you put on your lips. That's why he said, this book of the Lord, law shall not depart from your mouth, but in it you will meditate day and night. Meditation is about putting something on your lips. And that is how you eat as a believer. Regularly, you feed yourself with the word. It's not just about learning scripture now. It's about, you know, releasing the power that is inside that word. How you talk constantly. You are always feeding yourself. It's very important. You know, the other day, we talked about the fact that Christians, you eat properly. All right? Create a menu for yourself. When people are too fleshly minded, they go on all kinds of diets. You hear, the most heretical of all of them is one they call hallelujah diet. To me, it's heresy. It's heresy. It's taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's bad. If you want to do that diet, withdraw the name hallelujah from it. What it's doing is that you are polluting, a good thing. You are putting credibility, all right, with the name hallelujah on something that's very fleshly and ungodly. It's not good. It's not bad. It's not evil. It's not kind. It's not righteous. It's not satanic. It's not godly. It's just food. You know what I mean? So don't put hallelujah on it. Every food deserves the hallelujah name. People come with all kinds of things. Listen, the fact is this, all right? Every food must be received with thanksgiving. Don't baptize any diet form, hallelujah. It's annoying to my soul. In fact, I'm provoking right now. Could not make it look so righteous. And Christians are the ones circulating it. because they think it is godly. There's nothing godly about the diet. I hope you get my point. If you like, call it jubu-jubu diet. It's the same thing. There's no godliness in it. This is godly diet. Any food you take with what? Thanksgiving. All right? You do everything in moderation. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I'm bringing up is that you see that Christians go into all kinds of diets because they want to make themselves physically fit. They want to make themselves physically healthy. They want to make themselves good. The truth is that those things are inferior. Real life comes from the spirit. Are you getting my point here? So you should go on the real hallelujah diet. You should go on real diet in the realm of the spirit. You should take time out and say, listen, let me feed myself in this particular area. Like I kept on giving Psalm 23 as an example. Take any other portion of the Bible that God has given you revelation concerning, and you start eating it. You eat it on a regular basis. You can eat the same thing morning, afternoon, and night. Why? It's manna. God didn't vary manna for them. Are you getting my point here? Yes, so we can eat the same thing until you are full of that. Then you move into another thing, and you are eating the same thing. The one that is relevant to your life at that time. If what is upon your heart that is strongest is a matter of divine health, cook up a good salad, you know, a good menu, a good soup on divine health. Have it there, like 10 or 20 scriptures that you have synthesized into your local language, the one you speak normally. If you're a pidgin-speaking person, that is what you use for your confession. Don't speak good English when you get there. Nobody will understand you. You understand my point?
Yes,
if not normally, pidgin will they talk. When you get up in the morning, say, all my wahala is there for cross. At you, Sam. Are you getting my point? Say it like that. If it's normal English you speak normally, speak the English. Stop all this Hebrew thing. Speaking Greek. Oh, Father, I want to exaggerate the revelation that is concatenated in the scriptures. You will get sicker than before. You are getting my point? Just take the scriptures. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his scourging, by his stripes, by the beating that he was given, I have been healed. The Father has taken what is wrong in me and has applied it to him on the cross. That has been buried. When he rose up again, he rose up in the newness of life, and I rose up with him. The same spirit that gave him life again is working in my mortal body and is giving life to my mortal body. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me, giving life to my mortal body. That spirit is making my head healthy, making my neck healthy, my shoulders, my chest, my stomach, down to my feet. Every part of me is healed by the power of the blood of Jesus. It's not passive confession. This is a declaration of the word of God. How long does it take to eat breakfast normally? If you're like me, it's 5 minutes. For some people, they sit down to eat breakfast, so it's 15 minutes. Do that in the morning, 10 minutes. Snack time, do it again. Lunch time, you do it again. Dinner time, do it again. You feed yourself so that you're not spiritually malnourished. We put a lot of energy into feeding our bodies. We have all kinds of diets. That's why I sat down that hallelujah thing. All kinds of diets, but we don't use the same energy to bring that diet experience into the realm of the spirit. If we do, life will actually begin to manifest in us. That's what I'm talking about. Are you getting my point here? So I said I want to share something. Now, let me review for a minute what we said last time. And that's the fact that, remember I said we are creating a habit. I want us to be convinced of a prayer habit that does not focus on the devil. I want us to be convinced of the prayer habit that does not focus on enemies. Last time I spent time explaining that, listen, what delays answers to the prayers of Christians is not Satan. It's not even the prince of Persia. I hope you're getting my point here. It is not the prince of Persia in himself that hindered the answer to the prayer of Daniel, even though, all right, look at it on the surface, it appears like that. And I'm saying again, it is not those things that hinder the answers to our prayers as believers. Let's bear the mind. You know, I say, but the Bible says the prince of Persia with who withstood me. That angel was speaking to Daniel. But we have explained it again, that why did it take the Lord 3 weeks to release Michael? That's what you should focus on. And that is one. Then number two, you will realize that Daniel did not directly address that prince of Persia. He did not know about him until the angel came and explained the delay. So the Christians shouldn't think they will be having able to rebuke the prince of Persia so that they can get him. And many times we focus our prayers on those kind of in that kind of direction, trying to attack devil, the devil disturbing my answer, the devil doing this, the enemies. As I begin to pray, every force holding back my destiny, die by fire. Are you getting my point? The people start praying prayers that are supposed to kill enemies. Now, we've established that that doesn't work. That is not Christian prayer. That is not the way it's supposed to be. The devil in himself cannot withhold your prayers, the answers. He can't. He doesn't have the power. The only thing that can create a hindrance is inside you. God has explained, I can't start teaching that in details now, right? Otherwise, we'll be saying the same things again and again and again. Just trying to summarize. It is you, something inside you, something in your environment that strengthens the hands of those spirits that withhold. And there's something you will do, make corrections that will release Michael to go and knock them out of the way. That is just the way it is. You cannot sit down and start focusing on those so-called evil spirits to release. No, you can't do that. And that's why you do not find anywhere in the New Testament or even the Old Testament that people prayed like that. The prayers of people were always focused on their relationship with their God, period. That's it. You make your request to God. You repent to your God. When it comes to the devil, what you do is to resist him. Steadfast in your faith. What is that resisting? The devil only tries to tempt. So your resisting is to resist the temptation. That's what I'm going to emphasize. You resist the temptation of the devil. It is not as if you start fighting him over what belongs to you. No. Concerning what belongs to you, you lift up the word of God. Period. Concerning what belongs to you, you lift up the word of God. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. What you do to the devil is to resist his temptations, to resist his deception. Like I said the other time, that if he starts telling you that, has God really said that healing belongs to the people of God? Those are the kind of things he does. When he undermines faith, God's power cannot be released. The devil cannot say, I will take your health. He doesn't have that power. Let's get it clear. He doesn't have it. What he can do is to come to you and say, has God really said, by his stripes you have been healed? And you will say, yes, he said so. He said, then why are you having a headache? Are you getting my point? Then you now say, okay, maybe this the healing, like I've read books like that. It's not about physical healing. It's about spiritual healing. Satan will say, good. That's what I thought too. Why were you believing it's for physical healing? He said, I don't know. He said, just manage your headache. In the by and by, when you after resurrection, you will be totally well. Is that not enough for you? He said, yes. He said, just join Jehovah's Witnesses. You will have peace. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that it's when Jesus comes back that all those things will be sorted out. They now say that, as a child of God, I should have abundance. He said, is that not worldliness? Did God really say you will prosper like that and be in good health? The word prosper does not mean money. It means you will be happy. Are you not happy in your poverty? You say, I'm happy. Just manage it. Don't believe God for anything better. And then you say, it is true. He says, just stay there. Stay there. Sing after me. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are all laid up somewhere beyond that. Is it beyond the moon? Beyond the skies? The angels beckon me. Just die sharp and come and meet it. That's what they say now. They're not going on glorifying lack and poverty. And Satan is happy. They now sit there and say, when they say, okay, we need to preach the gospel, people should give offering to the gospel. These pastors are always looking for money. You know your problem. It's not the pastors. It's that you don't have to give. That's the truth. That's all Satan can do. Scatter your doctrine for you. And once your doctrine is wrong, your faith is weak. Once your doctrine is compromised, your faith is weak. But Satan cannot come and say, I am going to take your money. I'm going to ruin your business. He doesn't have that power. That's what I'm going to emphasize. He doesn't have that power. Look, he doesn't have it. It is not within him to make those decisions. It's not within him to make such statements and stand by them. All he does is try to scare the people of God. He uses the physical things around to try and scare us, to try and change our minds. You sit down, listen, if you don't have good understanding of spiritual things, keep away from television. And please, one thing I'm going to tell you, and I'm joking about it, I don't think you should be reading all those funny opinions in the newspapers. As you know, I read news a lot. I watch news a lot. I'm careful to ignore all those back column, back page, back this, back that, front this, middle column, editor's opinion. I don't read them. Out of 100 I come across, maybe I read half. When I start in the first line, who are you to be instructing me? Give me the news and go away. Even the news itself, we have to be careful. News can change. The way news they take change. Did I tell you this gist here? One of my friends sent me a picture, and they showed a fish. Okay. Whether a boa constrictor or a python picking up a fish hanging by a tree. Managed to get that fish. He said the way the reporters will report it. Brave snake rescues fish from drowning. You will have finished reading before you realize that, excuse me, fish drowning? Meanwhile, the snake, they work. So even the news, I'm careful. How much more opinions? They will settle down and persuade you that there's economic recession, and you swallow it, and you start making excuses for everything that's going wrong. I told the one brother told me the other day that they said recession. He told me himself, no, it is not recession for me. He said last month, the month before this October, September, there has never had business as much as that all his life. Look, I thought about it. I wish I could settle down. God gives me the opportunity. Let me talk to the men who are ruling. One thing I want to tell them is that one of the major problems in Nigeria of today, in Africa, not Nigeria, is that we have been unconsciously taught that wealth is measured in US dollars. Now, without realizing it, that has crippled all our economies and made them dependent upon what Europeans and Americans are doing. I don't want to go into it. I just realized that, do you know, for America to pull itself out of recession, you know what it did? It printed dollars. They called it quantitative easing. Every quarter, they will print maybe like, I've forgotten, maybe $100 billion. Print. I'm not saying, you know, the one they wish would laugh at Uganda and Zimbabwe. They will print it every quarter. QE1, QE2, QE3. It looks like fantastic economics. Do it in Nigeria. They tell you inflation will kill you. Meanwhile, inflation did not touch them in America. They stopped it just a few quarters ago. Why? Because they taught the whole world that wealth is measured in US dollars. Before, the world measured wealth in gold. But now, the world measures wealth in US dollars. So they will sit down over there and print it. And will start fighting for it. Then when there's a reduction in the supplies of US dollars, or the way by which we get it, they say we are in recession. And the one of us say, yes, we are in recession. Believe me, I don't have time to explain it. In fact, I won't bother. But I will need to explain and explain. I found out that, listen, Nigeria can pull itself out of recession in 6 months. Yes. In fact, I think we can do it quicker than 6 months. I'm not kidding about it. I am convinced beyond reasonable doubt. But no, don't worry. We'll talk about that another time. The truth is that it's a spiritual law anyway, so let me leave it. Spiritually, we are held in bondage. That's it. And Christians need to know how to break out of that bondage. The reason is not because of determination, but because actually the power of Christ is with us to break us out of the bondage. Look, the point I'm making is this. All Satan can do is persuade you. You are in recession, everything goes into recession. That's it. That's all Satan can do. And just by the way, let's not blame government. I need to say that. The problem does not start with the government. The problem, physically speaking, starts with the whole populace. But the whole populace can never be called together to come to an agreement on how to solve a problem. It's not possible. So how do we solve it? The people of God. God says if they change their mindset, change their orientation, change the way they think and approach life, things will affect the environment and they will be delivered from bondage. I've said all of that to emphasize the fact that, listen, Satan cannot determine to stop you. He can't. He can only tempt. What he does is to tempt. And one of the major temptations is the power of deception. Because when he says, as God really said, it's only when he finishes deceiving people that they begin to fall for iniquity. Are you getting my point? Yes, he puts it before you. If you don't get this certificate, you know your own is finished. When you believe it, one stupid, unbelieving lecturer will hold you to ransom as a young girl on campus because you think your life depends on a certificate. That's where temptation starts from. It's from focus, wrong focus. That's where it starts from. If I don't get this certificate, I'm done. I've been in this school for 5 years. My father will say I'm a failure. I will not be able to get a job. And one man is holding it. If you look at him and laugh, the guy will change his mind. And when he say laugh, you mean laugh. When he say see me by tomorrow, let's talk about this. You don't come. 1 week later, I say, sir, sorry, what? You were not around last week. I said you should come. I had to travel. You don't want to graduate? Eventually, I will graduate. Where we get to, we'll still get there. Sir, what are you talking about? What am I going to talk about with you, sir? More than the fact that I should read my book, do my assignments, pass my exam. If you fail me unjustly, it's between you and God. Where I'm going to get to, nobody can stop it. If you have that mindset, nobody can be tempting you recklessly. On what? Are you getting my point here? It's wrong mindsets that make people fall for temptations. Wrong thoughts. That's what Satan says. Satan will come and say, oh girl, you don't get the certificate. The bank won't employ you. The oil company won't employ you. Federal government won't employ you. Nobody will employ you. See, your own is finished. You will forget to notice that he said, employ, 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 employ. He said, do I look like I'm looking for employment? Listen, I can still prosper. Once you have that mindset, every man will leave you alone. What am I going to say? So that's what Satan does. Deceive people. Tempt them. Then when we can resist him in those two areas, he has lost entirely. My focus, that is what I'm trying to emphasize on, is please don't believe for a moment that you need to be fighting the devil in prayer. Satan, leave my goods. You won't take them. He knows he can't. The Lord is good. So I want to recommend again for everybody, please go and listen to that our series, God-Centered Praying. It's very important. God-Centered Praying. Let us not center our prayers on Satan. Now, let me, you know, I've been saying I want to say something, right? Apostle? Yes, sir. I know there's something I want to share to convince everybody not to pray worrying about witch or about witches or witch doctors, enemies, enchanters, let's use the Yoruba word, sorcerers, who cast spells. You know why I just want to share this? I found out that all of them gathered, all the witches, sorcerers, powerful juju men, and agreed and left a testimony for us that we shouldn't bother about them, that they don't bother about us. Do you know it in your Bible? Now, I don't need their testimony, actually. I have enough scripture. Except that God saw it fit to add that one. And the moment I've discovered it, it's something we have discussed before. Just as the new way I saw it again. Because of the new way I saw it, I said, let me just share it. If you have your Bible with you, quickly, Numbers chapter 23, the story of Balaam. You know the interesting thing about it? Every man knows his level if they are the realm of the spirit. There's a story I told here a number of times. One of these Benin princes, not a small boy, all right? When I heard him say this, it was about 20 years ago. He was about 70 years old. Then, he was not a small boy. One of the princes of Benin. He grew up in the occult. And then one day, the Lord manifested to him. He was giving this testimony at a full gospel businessman's dinner. That was an outreach, so I was invited. One of my friends invited me. But what I want to bring out is that he said, having grown up in the occult, One night, he got woken up by somebody he couldn't see. And the person told him to enter into his room where he packed all the gods and the juju he used to do. And he obeyed diligently. And he was instructed to go and throw everything into the river around 4 a.m. By that time, he finally got to the river place. It's his testimony I want to say. He said, if you have been in the occult, you will know when a power bigger than you is talking to you. That's why I'm repeating that. He didn't see anybody, but he knew that this fellow is more powerful than me. Of course, it turned out to be the Lord Jesus. It took him 6 months to find out who it was. Oh, yes. After I cast away all his idols, cast away all his gods, the person left him alone. And that was what worried him more. You that has done this to me now, you've left me naked. That's what he said. You left me exposed. It was 6 months later where he stumbled into where they were preaching. This is the person who took away all my gods, who took away all my idols. And he found out that it is because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings and the God above all gods. So that's why he was testifying of it. He didn't come complaining that your Jesus robbed me. No. He came to testify that as an old man, I finally met Jesus, bigger than all the gods I was serving. I finally met Jesus, the maker of the heaven, all right, the heavens and the earth. I finally met him, and he was testifying. But what I bring from his testimony is that he said, when you have been in the occult, you will know when a power bigger than you is talking to you. And that's what I want to refer to again. It's those who don't understand. I want Christians to know, Satan knows his limits. The devil knows his limits. We are the ones, the pastors that are wrongly representing him. They are campaigning for him. Instead of magnifying the Lord, they are magnifying the devil. Magnify Satan with me. That's what they are doing. They make it look like, you ask, how are they doing that? They make it look like it's somebody you have to fight morning, afternoon, and night. It's somebody that you have to wrestle with. Go and read your scriptures. Men wrestled with God. They didn't wrestle with the devil. They wrestled with God. That also happened to them. Their flesh was getting in the way. Those are the things they had to conquer. They never had to conquer the devil. They had to conquer the flesh so as to submit to God. They had to conquer their strongholds in their hearts so as to submit to God. They never had to wrestle with the devil. The devil knows his limits. There was a time God asked him, how about my servant Job? He told God, I don't go near. Why? I'm aware of what you have done for him. Please, I hope you're following me. Please stop praying as if he's the problem you have. The only problem you have with the devil is the problem of the flesh. Temptations. Falling for sin. That's all. The devil said, I won't get a job. He cannot say it. Stop testifying. The devil now came to me and he said, I won't get a job. I will now begin to fight. I get the God. And I went on a 3-day fast because the devil said, you won't get a job. If the devil said, you won't get a job, you should laugh. So are you the one handing out jobs? Did I apply from you? I came to you to apply for a job. Like the illustration I gave, I don't know, was he here or when I was teaching? I said, you can as powerful. Yes, it wasn't, because I remember, it was in Warri when I was teaching. Look, I remember that I used the Delta State Governor as an example. I said, as powerful as the state governor is, assuming I'm a gate man, I'm a level one officer in Federal Ministry of Works, and the governor of this state comes to me, we have an argument one day, say, you will not get your salary this month. Am I going to go and pray? Think about it. The state governor, the most powerful individual in the state, says to me, standing on the grounds of his state, that I will not get my salary and I'm a level one lowest ranking officer in my establishment. And Satan says to me, you will not get your salary this month. Sorry, the governor says, you won't get the salary this month. Will I pray? No. Will I worry? If I worry, you say, why are you worried? Do you know what does he know? For those who don't know, why should you worry? Why should you not worry? You wouldn't worry because he doesn't pay your salaries. These days, for federal government, it's called IPPIS. At the end of the month, from Federal Ministry of Finance, from Central Bank, wherever it is, your salary moves shoom into your account, and they never ask the governor of your state. In fact, you should ask the governor, have you paid those who you are paying? Because in Nigeria of today, we know now, many governors are coming to Abuja to beg, please, bail out. Just lend us money until the economy improves. Federal government doesn't need that. Normally pays on time. So even though in life, I rank very low, I'm level one, but I work for the federal ministry. And the other man is very high. He's the top of the food chain in the state. But because he's not in charge of my wages, the banks don't ask his approval before they pay me. The federal government disburses my money straight into my account. If he stands in front of me and says, you will not get your salary this month, I will be a fool to worry about over it. I just say, yes, sir. Don't worry, sir. It's okay. In my mind, I'm sure he does not know I don't work for the state. That's what you'll be thinking. Out of respect, don't want to answer him. You'll just be thinking that, the man does not know I'm a federal civil servant. And it's obviously, Your Excellency, don't be angry, sir. Inside your mind. Say, he will soon find out. So when the devil comes and says, you will not get this, you ask, are you the one giving it? Some preachers will actually go and be testifying. There was a young girl. The auntie said she will never marry. He didn't ask, is the auntie the one sharing out husbands? I'm a child of God. I get my things from God the Father. So why should I worry when somebody who doesn't have any control over it is threatening? Habba. Oh, in Christ Jesus we are free. Please. This is so strong on my mind today. Forget this fighting of the devil when you are praying. It's wasting your prayer time. I have noticed in recent times that one of the major things Satan uses, look, I told that before, Christians, is this a sin? Is it not a sin? Our own things are a bit more complicated than that. Sometimes, one of the things that Satan uses, to deny us of our inheritance, is not what you and I call overt sin. Many of the times, you know what it is? It's waste of time. What did I call it? I didn't hear you well. That's one major one Satan uses. I'll give you a few examples. You sit down a whole day discussing Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Is it a sin? Okay, good. Somebody even said yes. Most people said no. Yes, you are right. It is not a sin. It is also a sin. It depends on how you want to look at it. But one thing we all know is that it's a waste of time. The other day I meditated about it, and I believe what the Holy Spirit that gave me an understanding. I said, this one was sitting down talking about people. Holy Spirit, is it called backbiting? No. The Lord said, no, it's not. Sometimes, if I'm talking about Ronaldo, am I backbiting? If I talk about Moreno, am I backbiting? So why do you think if I talk about you, it's backbiting? Maybe because you're important. Are you seeing what I'm saying? See, I've confused that doctrine now. Okay, I talk about Dangote. Am I backbiting? Answer me now. No. You are not sure. Apostle is confused. What do I say on radio? When they ask me this kind of question next time. I talk about Buhari. He's not backbiting. He's our head of state. Once you're a public figure, people will talk about you. So you see, it's not the same many times when we are talking about people, depending on the circumstances, of course, you understand. But what the Holy Spirit helped me understand that day when I was praying about it was this. That the time you are spending talking about individuals is the time the Lord had ordained for you to talk about Christ. The more you talk about him, the more he's magnified. The more he's magnified in your life, the more his power is released into your system. Remember what we read before in Numbers chapter 21. When they look at him persistently, give me the words, attentively, with a steady and absorbing gaze, that's when they are healed. But when you look at Buhari steadfastly, with a steady and observing gaze, you are confused. You look at Moreno steadfastly with a steady and observing gaze, you are more confused. You turn around, you look at Dangote with a steady and observing gaze, you don't even know what's going on. Is it a problem? The sickness remains, the confusion remains. This morning, was it early this morning, my wife and I were talking about something. It involved some people. She said, I beg, let me talk about things that I define. Whatsoever things are just and of good report, let's talk about these things. Can you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I say we need to talk more about Christ Jesus. We talk too much about what the devil is doing. I told you my friend in Sokoto, Pastor Courage, he hates describing Islamic agenda. It annoys him. He said, let's describe what God is doing. That let them be talking about the Christian agenda. Why do Christians gather and be talking about the Islamic agenda? So forget whether backbiting is a sin. You are cheating yourself. So that's why when you sit down for hours analyzing your UEFA Cup, you won't be rich in life. As you can see that, you are reducing your ability to make money and prosper. Of course, I got an email from DSTV. I'll soon remove those people out of my life. Big Brother Africa is back. Many of you may have gotten the email. May God destroy Big Brother Africa. Amen. And the institution that's keeping it up. May all of them suffer. In case you are watching them, that applies to you too. Our television will spoil in Jesus' name. The decoder go blow. And for those of you men who sneak to watch when your wife is sleeping, may she catch you. May okay when they settle the quarrel. The Lord is good. Add us be watching Big Brother Africa. You have a spiritual problem. See me after for deliverance. My deliverance is with belt. These are things people do. And they hinder their own spiritual power. Faith is a spiritual substance. We've described it before. That's where it leaks. Should never be found visiting a gossip website. What are you talking about? Anything that's not magnifying Christ in your life, keep away. Friends that are not magnifying Christ, keep away. I said you should open somewhere. Yes, Numbers 23. I said all the witches, the Ogbanje spirits, the spirit husbands, the spirit wives, the mami water spirit. Which other one now, Apostle? You delivered them before now. The near success spirits, the spirit of Incubus, Succubus, and Asmundius. All the Dibias and the Babalawos in the village, they gathered and sent a representative. Now, why did I say this man is a representative? I'll tell you. The man's name is Balaam. Let's talk about Balaam for a moment. Now, please, I want you to see something about Balaam. Go down to Numbers chapter 22. I want to read something here. We are going to pray. I'm just doing all this preamble talking so that we can pray properly. And if we don't get there today, there's always next time. We know the story of Balaam, right? Most of us. For those who don't know, Balaam. Okay, let's give a background. Who was Balaam? Most of us call him a prophet. Did the Bible ever call him a prophet? We just grew up assuming he was a prophet. And why we assume the man was a prophet is simply because God used to speak to him. Yeah. It's because God used to speak to Balaam. We assume, therefore. So I just want to check something quickly. I just want to see how the Bible described him here. The Bible said in verse 5, Balak sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, who was near the river, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land and they are living opposite me. Now, I just want to see something here. If you see verse 7, the Bible says that the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand. Verse 7 tells us Balaam was a diviner. What does the Bible say about verse 7? Which version do you have? What did he say? Mm-hmm.
Set out money to pay Balaam.
Uh-huh. To place a curse upon Israel. Okay, all he said is money to pay Balaam to place a curse upon Israel. Okay? Then who has another one?
Fee for divination.
That's what my Bible has. Reward of divination. Any other one?
Diviner's fee.
So apparently, all we are getting, all right? In fact, Amplify use the word reward of foretelling in their hands. All we have is that the man was a fortune teller. He was a diviner. I'm looking for where the Bible called him a prophet. The Bible called him a prophet? As you can see, we grew up assuming he was a prophet. Now, you see where I'm going, what I'm talking about in a moment. Now, divination was illegal in Israel. So this man was not the prophet that we know. Because in Israel, Moses gave them a law against divination. Please, I'm going somewhere. I grew up assuming Balaam was a prophet. Over the last many years, I found out more than 10 years ago that it's a mistake. I was mistaken. He was not a prophet. Why many of us get confused and assume he was a prophet is because we thought only prophets could hear God. I don't want to spend time discussing that now. I told us before that Ifah priests used to hear God. Balaam was nothing more than what a Yoruba man would have called an Ifah priest. As we can see from the story, he was also a sorcerer. That's why I called him the representative of all the people we mentioned, the Ogbanje priests, all the evil spirits, all the witches, all the sorcerers. He was their representative for us. Or he is their representative for us. And you see what I'm talking about him? You'll see in a moment. So please bear in mind, Balaam was very powerful. Balaam was the kind of person that when your neighbor offended you and wanted to kill your neighbor, you went to him. Balaam was the kind of person, I mean, we grew up watching those things in plays and TV. A man wants to marry a girl, you know, arranged marriages those days. And the girl doesn't want to agree. They don't beg her. They go to Balaam. And Balaam will do a love potion. And they will throw it on the ground in the place, but in real life it won't work on the ground. The other ways they do it. And the girl will step over it and she will fall in love. You went to Balaam for such things. Please, I hope you're getting my point. He said, but you used to hear God. Yes, God is the judge. Anybody can approach God the judge. It's only God the Father. You needed to come through Jesus Christ. God the judge, if you present your case, even Satan used to go. I've discussed it here many times before. God the judge, those who understand spiritual things, they know how to petition him and use his judgment to kill their enemies. They knew how to do it. Balaam was the kind of person they went to when they said they don't want there to be rain. Balaam was the kind of person they went to when they want there to be rain so as to destroy somebody else's festival. When they wanted to go to war, they went to Balaam, as we saw here. Balak had to go to war, so he sent to Balaam and said, please come and curse these people for me. It used to work. We know from scripture that Balaam actually used to get results. God actually used to talk to Balaam. When they came, God came and said, who are those people that came to you? Are you getting my point here? God personally came and talked to Balaam, asked Balaam, what are you doing? That's in Numbers 22, verse 9. God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt, and they covered the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Behold, perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out. Verse 12, God said to Balaam, do not go with them. Let me summarize it here. He said, you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Do not go with them. Now, please, I don't want to spend the time reading all of this. Where I want you to get to emphasize the power of Balaam is verse, just go down. You know, again, he went back. You know the story? God now said go. Remember? We don't want to analyze why God said go. We already know it here. It was because he was determined to go and he loved money. But on his way, an angel, verse 22, but God was angry because he was going. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against Balaam. Now he was riding on his donkey and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, the donkey turned off. Remember that story? Then what happened? Balaam began to fight the donkey. Now go down to verse 28. Verse 27. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she laid down under Balaam. So Balaam was very angry and struck the donkey with a stick. Verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Then Balaam said, because you have made a mockery of me, if there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on whom you are reading all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you? And he said, no. Let me stop here. Let's stop here. I want to talk about the power of Balaam. This Balaam guy. Hey, powerful guy. Before, we used to say this. I have used it to preach until a few days ago it struck me that, Pastor Banky, you didn't get it well. I said that this man himself is funny. A donkey is talking to you, did not run. Have you said that before? Until a few days ago, I said Banky is not funny. Balaam did not run because it was not the first time. Balaam used to talk to animals. It struck me. That's why it was not. He didn't panic. You have never heard it. You would disappear if it happens. Balaam, it was not new. What used to happen to Balaam? They would say, please, we want to know who took the cattle. Balaam would get there, do his divination, and call birds to come and ask the birds, you were here, who took the cattle? And the birds will point out. It's in your Bible. That birds of the air, they carry what is said in secret. Balaam knew how to hear it from them. That was a powerful man. Don't joke with him. Until a few days ago, I used to laugh too. That, oh boy, donkey is talking to you. You know, pens. Once he just turned on me. He said, Banky, you don't get it. But that donkey was not the first animal he was hearing. He had held conversations with animals before as God would give them utterance. We're talking about power. I'm trying to describe Balaam to you. So when you see Balaam next time, you will understand how powerful a sorcerer he was. Next time you read it, I'm sure you won't laugh again. It wasn't because of foolishness. It was because of experience. Remember my aim? To let you know how not to pray and be worrying about Balaam and evil spirits. This same Balaam, with all the power, I've taken this amount of time to describe for you what Balaam was. In the whole scriptures, he was the most powerful sorcerer we ever read about. Most of us grew up thinking he was a prophet. The same people got to the people of God, they said, curse them. Open to verse 23 for me. This was what Balaam said. This very powerful Ogbanje man, this powerful Mami Water enchanter, he looked at the people of Israel and said, surely there is no enchantment with or against Jacob. I'm using Amplified. Neither is there any divination with or against Israel. Did you hear what I said? The most powerful man you ever saw looked at Israel and said, all my experience, all my abilities, none of them works against these people. I've heard people say before, if they are sacrificing animal against you, you will sacrifice something bigger. Have you heard that before? Don't mind him. He wants to raise an offering. That's why he was preaching that lie. Balaam sacrificed 7 oxen, 7 goats. How many did he sacrifice? Go and count it. Over 21. Let's check it. Let's check it. Please find it for me. Find it for me. Then Balaam said to Balak, verse one. Build 7 altars for me here, and prepare how many bulls?
7 bulls.
And how many rams?
7.
They did that. Verse 2. And Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. Verse 4. Now God met Balaam and said to him, I have set up 7 altars. And he said to God, I have set up 7 altars. I have offered up a bull and a ram on each one. And then God put a word in Balaam's mouth. And he began to bless the people of Israel. Are you seeing that? Go down to verse what? 13. Then Balak said to him, please come with me to another place from where you may see them. Verse 14. So he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. How many now? 14 bulls and 14 rams. 28 animals. 14. And then he began to talk. Listen to me. That was 28 bulls and rams sacrificed to curse the people of Israel. And what was the conclusion? Verse 23. There is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. And a man will come to preach to you that if they sacrifice one goat against you, you will sacrifice a bigger goat. One man actually stood and I heard him. He said, my uncle was sacrificing a cow. I sacrificed a Mercedes Benz. That is foolish talk. Foolish talk. Oh, I forgot to tell you something. What was Israel sacrificing? What were they sacrificing? The Bible says, I don't have time to look for it. He said they were camped like flock of goats. They were just sleeping. They were doing ten. Timpo. They were there playing. They were not aware anything was going on. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Be fighting rubbish fight. That is why I have never joined prayer against witches. I have never. The word which only comes out of my mouth when I'm preaching. Because I have to minister to people. Oh, I forgot another part. Oh, I didn't forget. We're going to get there. These were the people of Israel, who the Bible says had a covenant established upon inferior promises. Yes, that's what the Bible says. He said, we have a covenant established upon what? Better promises. What was their salvation? A lamb, day old, upon the doorpost. Who the Bible says the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. Say, but for us, our salvation is based upon the shed blood of the pure Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If Balaam could not curse them, Balaam, if he had seen us, me and you, he would have disappeared. When God said, bless, no, I can't even bless these ones. Because if I bless wrongly, my mouth might turn wrongly. So I took time out to show you the power of Balaam. If Balaam cannot curse ordinary old covenant established on the blood of bulls and goats, how can he, or how can people inferior to Balaam be cursing people who are covered by the precious blood of Jesus? Have you seen all the amount of hours you've spent on foolish prayer? After today, I'm sure if they raise some rubbish prayer points, you won't open your mouth again. So you will say, all the Balaam in our life, you will not get me. Say, sir, he knows. Do I need to tell him? Israel was not telling him. Why should I tell him? Let me emphasize to you. Balaam knows. That's why I told the story about that occultic man who said in the occult, they recognize ranks. He said it. Even though we have the testimony of scripture. I'm just using those people to explain. We have this testimony of Satan himself. Have you considered my servant Job? Ah, he said, Job, You surrounded him with a hedge round about. That was what I noticed when I considered him. So he left him alone. Listen to me. Let me say it to you clearly. You are higher than the devil. And he knows it. The only thing he can do, I've said it again and again, the only thing he can do is to try to deceive. And then God allows him to tempt. And God says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that you not fall for deception. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, so you don't fall for temptation. Once those two things are in place, please, forget Balaam. Forget the devil. I hope I'm clear. Forget Balaam. Forget the devil. He does not have the kind of power we think he has. I said earlier, a lot of prayers are prayers of time wasting. We waste a lot of time. You spend a whole night fighting people who are not even bothering you. Not because they like you, but because they are afraid of you. If Balaam can talk like this, how do you think that junior witch in your uncle's compound is talking? Just for your emphasis, there's no witch in your uncle's compound. Your uncle too is hungry. Seven bulls and seven rams is not free. Are you getting my point? You saw me when they want to do serious incantation against people. How many bulls? Go and ask those Fulani headsmen how much one is. Leave your uncle alone. He's not that rich. And this is our investments. What will he gain? People think you just wake up in the morning, just be cursing people anyhow. Spiritual things are very, very expensive. Is it because Jesus gave you free of charge? Just come to the Father in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, talk to me and he'll talk. Go and ask Balaam what he used to take. People don't know these things are costly. I remember the days of Emmanuel Eni and Omoba Jesu. They used to testify that to talk to Satan, 11 months of fasting. Some of you think you can fast. I just laugh at you. Better take the one Jesus gave you free of charge. I'll ask the Father in my name. And the Father will just say, my son, what do you want? I just wanted to greet you, Daddy, just to prove that I can. Thank you, Lord. It's all right. It's okay. Lord, I worship you. Oh, it's okay. Father, you are great. That's good. Go and ask those who have tried these spiritual things. I told you, men will raise hands up 12 years because they want to attain spirituality. Jesus said, believe. It is like that. In fact, Jesus is very funny. Even when you have not believed, he appeared to you. So, why are you persecuting me? Because we don't know how expensive these things are. If you know how costly it is, when a man do you like this, you say, boy, when he does like this, waka, I say, can you pay for it? Say, that your waka, can you pay? Go back home and go and start. You know how costly it is. Person, whenever Christmas is coming, he's not sure of one fowl. You think he'll sacrifice a goat to curse you? Leave that in. Check your uncle's roof. It looks nice outside. Go inside. He has not sealed the house. Think you use his stealing money to be cursing your father. People don't understand. These are expensive things, so I just want to emphasize to you, nobody's cursing you. And even if they were, when they go to the men who want to do the cursing, when the men see in the realm of the spirit, they will turn around and warn the person. Say, next time you come here, walai talai, you will know what MFN calls back to sender that day. The juju man, I go tell him, say, you came here, of all this, sinners in your village, you didn't see any. Or of all these criminals in government, you didn't see any for me to curse. Is this child of God? If I see you again, you will know what they come back to send at that day. I'm not, and this is not a joke. The juju men that don't know yet, when they try, that is what they always experience. Always, always. Because they don't have power in themselves. They always have to make petition before the throne of God. And the same God that talked to Balaam has not stopped talking. And you know what happened to Balaam? You know the rest of the story. The only way Balak was able to get the people of Israel was that Balaam taught him how to do it. What did he do? He told him how to seduce them through fine girls that they sent into the camp. And for that, and look, what he did was legitimate in quote, in that it was them that fell for temptation. All the girls went in. And the boys said, oh, merci moi, babe, my God. At the end of the day, Wahala burst in the camp. Do you know God killed Balaam for that counsel he gave to Balak? Listen, I preach some doctrines which I am convinced upset some babalawos that wear clothes and call themselves pastors. What I want to say is not a joke. I know a few of them must have had a heart attack because of me, because they thought evil of me in their hearts. And God said, if you don't stop that, I give you 1 more week. 1 more week, they heard me again that they were angry and God killed them. And that's not supposed to be a joke. I don't mean as a joke. You know, I don't pray fire prayers. That's one of the reasons why I don't. If I pray fire against you, fire prayer against you, you will die. Your grandfather will wake up and die again. God will just have to kill enough. You're not kidding, no. For the counsel that Balaam gave to Balak, God killed him. Who's afraid of who? Listen, let's get back to our message. Like, that's just a side one. That's not the message. That's a side message. Just so we understand, so that Christians can be praying prayers and stop wasting time. That's why I just said that one. The real prayer, what we do with the word of God, is to cleanse ourselves, that he might wash her with the washing of water by the word. Let's rise to our feet. That he might wash her with the washing of water by the word. That he might wash her with the washing of water by the word. What do? We take the word of God and wash ourselves every day. That's what we do. We don't spend our energy on people that know that they can't touch us. We don't spend our energy on people that are aware. I'm sure Satan will be laughing sometime. No, he doesn't laugh anymore. So he loves that. He's angry. He said, devil, you won't take my money. Devil, stop calling my name. The only time I come near your house is when you call me. Who took my money? Devil, I've warned you. Devil say, two of your children are Jagudas. You are calling my name. The Lord is good. Please go and listen to the series again. God-centered praying. Please, I'm begging you. Go and listen to it. God-centered praying. Satan has denied us too much because he has succeeded in deceiving us, thereby distracting us. We spend time praying on things that have no consequence. We lose net because we are wasting time. The time we should have invoked the power of God over our lives so we can walk in holiness and righteousness and justice, so that his word, which he has promised to be fulfilled in our lives, we spend it chasing enemies. Without saying, my auntie said I would not marry, as if auntie hands out husbands. Even if she went to the throne of God, they would drive her away. Who are you looking for? My daughter. You want to accuse her? If you come back here, I will do to you what I did to Balaam. What about all those testimonies we hear? They are not testimonies of believers. They are testimonies of sinners. That's what they are. The fact that they go to church does not mean they are not sinners. Of true believers, nobody is going to give you a testimony. That one auntie was saying that this one, that she's pregnant, she will not deliver. And then they began to pray. Aunties who have sense, even if they are deputy balance, if they have sense, they don't say some things. Because they know. That's the Christian saying, it was auntie that said that. That's when witch, they fight witch. Now bring it to church and turn it to testimonies. And of course, we listen to all these glorified witch doctors and sorcerers who wear suits and come to church. You now be in front of them. I thought about the apostle. You know that clown in Lagos? I had noticed something. I have never come here, have you noticed, and told you I'm a man of God. Have you ever heard it from my mouth? Bishop Oedipo has never stood up to say, oh, people say, sir, you are a real man of God. Iyadeboye, nobody comes. He comes, he doesn't carry the to testify that he's a man of God. For a man to get up every day and say, oh, you're a man of God. We used to criticize you. It's not a Christian. It's not a man of God. Nothing. Confusing the whole world. All the sorcerers' followers are following each other. They are fighting, not only to testimony. People will now be telling you, you can't shake hands. Say, if you shake hands now, Something will disappear. So now boys are shaking hands with left hand in their pocket. So when they shake with the right hand, they check. Are you still there? Stupidity. I will shake you, I will hug you. If you can withstand it, you are born again. If I finish hugging you and you are still healthy, you are not a witch. Greater is he that is in me. You are the one that should be afraid to shake me, because if I shake you, your brain is what will disappear, not something down there. It's your brain. If you're an evil person and I shake you, your brain will vanish. You see, Christians, insult. Insult. I've been insulting Jesus Christ. You will not come and testify. Praise the Lord, I was in the market. One man touched me. Now I check. And they'll say, praise the Lord, though. My God is faithful. My God is powerful. God will just say, yeah, me. Oh, God. Embarrassment. Is it witches that should be testifying in their coven? Hey, I have a second chance. Oh. See what happened? Pastor Banky shook my hand. Now my brain vanished. After I moved far away from him, and I begged God, please, I won't kill people again. Then God returned my brain. I came to tell you people, I have one more chance. Right now, my witching has reduced to only disappearing food from pots, because and Christians will be testifying and embarrassing the Lord. And I say, my God is powerful. God said, you call that powerful? Listen, next time you want to shake somebody, stretch your hand. Say, God bless you. You know the way we used to, one brother on campus, that's how he does it. God bless you. Tell the fellow, better go and check whether you are complete. Because I am the man of God. Say, don't give somebody, don't give a beggar money. Your money will vanish. Balaam said, Balaam said, you don't know yourself. Oh. It's when Christians don't know themselves. That's why Moabite girls will now come. Israelite men will now be following. If they understood what Balaam saw about them, they would drive those Moabite girls out of their presence. Listen, what is his name? Balaam saw about the people of Israel is inferior to what is happening in your life. You have a covenant established on better promises, enacted upon the precious blood of Jesus. Give him thanks. Take a minute. Thank him. Thank him with confidence. Thank him, you are grateful. Thank him like you are grateful. Seven bulls, seven rams. That is what a man spent trying to get the spiritual result. You will just lift up your voice to God the Father and he answers you. Thank him. Thank him. It's not because it is free. It's not because it is cheap. It's just because Jesus paid. Worship and thank God. Worship him. Say, Lord, thank you for total deliverance that I have in Christ. Just thank him for total deliverance that you have in Christ Jesus. Thank him for the total deliverance that you have in Christ Jesus. Thank him, oh. Remember, it's just you that needs to be purged. So that when the prince of this world comes, he doesn't have anything in you. Begin to thank him that you have been washed by his blood. That every handwriting of ordinances on you has been wiped away. Thank him. Say, Lord, thank you. Because I'm clean. I've been washed. Declare it, say, in the name of Jesus. Repeat after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I want you to say this like you are convinced and you are happy about it. Believe me. You know, and Christians, you have to learn to be grateful. Look, don't be whining over small things. My mates are driving cars I don't have. That's vanity. You've not seen bondage. I've seen people I read the stories, worth almost $500 million. Young boys, all they have in their soul is confusion. The one when the Ephesus man was telling me something he read, that those people that won, that win lottery massively abroad, they found out that, he said that 60% of them commit suicide after a few years. Did you hear what I said? 60%. I was surprised to hear that. I said, I never heard that one before. People will be whining and say they don't have money. Money comes on them. Boom! Say, more than half. After like say 5 to 7, less than 10 years, they've committed suicide. I like one thing Demon John said. Demon John is a guy of FUBU, head of FUBU. Demon John said, money doesn't solve problems. Today drives you to them in a Bugatti. Say, it drives you towards your problems in a Bugatti. What's a Bugatti? The world's most expensive sports car. $2 million for one car. The fast, I don't know whether they've beaten it now, but some, it's, if not the very fastest, then maybe somebody had just beaten it in recent times. It was the world's fastest accelerating sports car made by Volkswagen. $2 million for one. Demon John said, that's all money does for you. It drives you towards your problems in a Bugatti. Very fast and comfortably. What I'm trying to say, don't be whining over things that you, small things that are insignificant. If you want to see problems, men have problems. Some people can't sleep. And you just be sleeping anyhow. Your own problem is how to keep awake. Before you sit down, you are nodding. Go and ask Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's doctor was being paid $200,000 a month to help him sleep every night. $200,000 a month was the wage of that doctor so that Michael Jackson could sleep at night. His partner in music, also a wacko, Prince, died of drug overdose, of fentanyl. Now, you see, you don't get it. These are anesthetic drugs. Propofol that they used to give Michael Jackson to sleep is what they use to anesthetize patients for surgery. That was what Michael Jackson needed to sleep. He could not sleep. Essentially, every night he was anesthetized. When I heard that Prince died of fentanyl overdose, that was the first time in my life, I found out that fentanyl was available outside theater. As a medical student, I only saw fentanyl in theater. And they told us that they use it only when a patient's heart is appearing to be weak. So they are using the gas they used to keep him asleep. They have to turn it off. So they are afraid that he might wake up and start feeling the pain of the surgery. So they give him fentanyl. That's how powerful the drug is. That will give you fentanyl, even though they are cutting you, you won't feel it. In case you wake up and we don't know you have woken up. But every time, they are the one breathing for the patients. Yet, Prince, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You know what it means when you're taking fentanyl? It means heroin is now too small for you. Cocaine for you is not even good enough as appetizer. Men take fentanyl. I heard a joke just to make you laugh. So I know men have problems. One day, one man was selling cocaine. He decided to mix it with some drugs he had, PCP or something that wasn't selling. So they called cutting to reduce the amount of cocaine he'll sell. So he gave to the first client. That one removed his clothes. After taking it, removed his clothes and started running on the road. So the drug dealer thought that, business don't spoil. That by the time your client is running around naked, everybody will run away from you. He said, yeah, my business don't finish. To his amazement, he heard knock on the door. Somebody came and said, please, whatever you give that guy, can I have it? Guys were queuing up, say, please, we want butt naked. They gave the drug a new name called butt naked. That is the thing a man takes, he starts running naked. I said, people get a problem. I'm trying to get you to appreciate what you have. You have peace of mind. You're not smoking wee-wee. You're just going around life normal. You sleep. The only worry you have is, have I eaten enough? And you think you have problems. Please lift your hands and say, Lord, thank you. Just thank him. Say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I thank you. I didn't know you've been so kind to me. I thought I had problems. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. All those who are whining and complaining about clothes, about a bigger room. Lord, I'm sorry. About more money. For all these good things you have done. If I don't get back home on time, somebody will call and say, where are you? People actually love me. Ah, God. Say, Lord, thank you. Ah, thank you, Mo. I want you to declare, Lord, thank you because I've been washed. Say, Lord, thank you because I've been washed. You have washed the hold of Satan from my life. You have washed the hold of sin. You have forgiven all my iniquities. Let me tell you, you have been forgiven. Let nobody pretend to you that you have not been forgiven. Once you believed in Jesus and you said you were sorry, he forgave you, poured a bucket of blood on you and washed you clean. There is no sin that can withstand the bleaching power of his blood. None. Now declare so we can close. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
Lord, in the name of Jesus,
I am grateful.
I am grateful.
Thank you for washing me clean.
Thank you for washing me clean.
Lord, I have been washed.
Lord, I have been washed.
Now I am clean.
Now I am clean.
Say, sin.
Sin.
We have no dominion over me.
Say, sin has no dominion over me.
I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
I am seated with Christ.
I am seated
on the right hand of the Father.
On the right hand of the Father.
This is the emphasis. Far above. Principalities, every power of darkness,
far above
sin,
its consequences,
far above
spiritual death.
I am seated far above. Say, Lord, I am grateful. Oh, just thank him again in your own words. I think we can leave it there. Just thank him again in your own words. Thank him again in your own words. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you have been blessed today, give me an amen.
Amen.
Turn you to your neighbor. Tell the person, forget Balaam.
Forget Balaam.
Turn to another person, say, forget Balaam.
Forget Balaam.
Forget Balaam. Turn to somebody, forget Balaam. Forget Balaam. Say, Balaam knows his limit. He knows his limit. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is my season of fruitfulness.
Bless somebody on your left and on your right.
This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
Another person.
This